welcome again to this episode of Irreligiosophy, the one true podcast. All other podcasts are mere psychical place memories.
And we all know how troublesome those can be. Well, before we actually get into the podcast that we've been working arduously on for an entire week and a half, we should get into the actual reviews on iTunes, with the first coming from Mesa Angel, who points out that this is an awesome podcast, and that what we're talking about is perfectly suited for the religion class that she's taking, and that we do some crazy awesome work.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I actually really like hearing stories about arguments inside religion classes. It's great. The next one, Curious 49, speechless 5 stars. Definitely never gets boring and drags on. If you have a problem with high blood pressure, be sure to take your meds before listening. I would say no. People who have high blood pressure induced by this show, I think, should stroke out.
Yes, yes. In fact, I don't even understand why people with high blood pressure who listen to our show would even listen to our show. This is not a good idea. Not conducive to health.
The next one, by A. Dietrich.
Ah, it's gray-theistic.
I have no idea what that's referring to.
Yes, yes.
I love you guys, Pierce Dan. Thank you, Pierce Dan. We love you too.
Yes, yes, in more ways than we should count.
Over the last few months, I've listened to all of your podcasts, some multiple times. That's dedication.
Yeah.
He says that the audience knows who the smart one and who the smart ass is. I would beg to differ.
Yes, yes. We actually received an email. We made a comment before about this, about how the guy who sent us an email couldn't figure out who the smart one was with the whiny voice. But he responded with an email, and I want to read this to you because I'm confused as to who I am at this point. All right, it says, guy number one from the show, smart, does most of the work, has annoying voice. Guy number two from the show, dumb, lazy, deeper voice, funny. Picture of Layton, looks like the smart guy with whiny voice. Picture of Chuck, looks like the dumb, lazy, funny guy with a deeper voice. Bio of Layton makes me think he's guy number two. Bio of Chuck makes me think he's guy number one. My conclusion? Guy number one is actually Chuck, and guy number two is Layton.
He got it. He got it.
I'm not so sure at this point. I'm confused. I don't even know.
I'm Chuck. I'm the smart one. I do not most, but all of the work.
Yes.
Yes, I have the annoying voice.
I'm a lazy bastard. I'm just here to make commentary.
So, Pierce Dan says he knows who the smart one is, who the smart ass is. We just can't keep straight who Charlie is and this other guy, Chuck. They both sound exactly the same.
Well, split personality. It's a disorder.
That's because I prefer Chuck and Layton refuses to call me Chuck, just because he is a bastard.
Asshole is what I normally like to be called.
Dire Wolf says he, as well as you, came to atheism through the study of history.
Yeah, well, actually, once you get into it, you just discover so many things that raise an eyebrow that you can't turn aside from it.
Honestly, I think that high school history should be taught with religions in mind. I think that'd be a subversive way of creating more atheists.
I agree, and we are looking for more atheists out there.
That's right, because we can't reproduce, we have to convert.
Of course.
Aggie Bro says, genius! These guys are awesome. This is a hilarious podcast coming from extremely educated individuals. I would correct you as saying this is a hilarious podcast coming from one extremely educated individual.
Yes, we've already pointed out that the one educated person has a whiny voice. So, as all educated people have whiny voices, we'll just stick to that paradigm.
46 and Tool gives what's perhaps the best title to any Irreligiosity review.
Yes, I agree. Although the Beavis and Butthead comment had me chuckling, good, yeah. This one's pretty good.
You guys make my sphincter clench. 5 stars.
Well, just make sure you don't suck up the cushions you're sitting on when that occurs.
Awesome. So what we have in mind in honor of Halloween, and this is why we're not doing any Atheist News Networks this month, is because Layton and I put together this little home haunt, and we transform what's going to be our garage and all the way through our backyard. It's too bad we don't have more space. We could do a bigger show.
Yeah. Well, we're working on it.
Yeah. We've only got 2 weeks before my daughter's Halloween party, where we do kind of like a miniature run-through. So almost all of our spare time is spent doing Halloween stuff. Yeah. So
building props, building the haunted house itself. So we are kind of tied.
We're pressed for time. So we're going to do this podcast. We'll see if we can get any more out for the month of October, but no promises. but our theme for October, we've hit and hammered on religion quite a bit. And so in honor of Halloween, we're going to start hammering on some of these idiots who do ghost shows and claim that their house is haunted.
Now, this actually touches home for me because my family, I don't know if I ever told you this story, my family deeply, deeply believes in ghosts. In fact, in my grandma's and my grandpa's house, there was a ghost called the Blue Lady because she would wear a blue dress. And my uncle, who also was a martial arts champion nationwide, he was asleep in the house one day, and he got up, was walking down the hall, and he saw the Blue Lady. So the first thing he does is drop down into a karate stance, does a karate chop, and nearly breaks his wrist on the vacuum cleaner, which, by the way, was blue.
He was trying to chop a ghost.
Yes.
Karate chop a ghost.
Yes. Maybe he should have tried the Vulcan death pinch, or knockout pinch, whatever it is. Yeah, he nearly broke his wrist doing this.
And you know, had he just kind of turned around and ran back into his room, he would have had a story for the rest of his life. I saw the Blue Lady, right? She appeared to me in the hallway. Yeah. No one can explain that. I saw her with my own eyes.
All right, wait. We've got a martial arts champion. He's going to fight.
And of course. Because we all know that you can karate chop a ghost and pinch their ghostly
nerves.
Carotid artery.
That's the best way to put a stop to ghosts.
Oh, Lord. So what we're going to do, we were planning on doing a haunting in Connecticut, right? Because that was actually a major motion picture. But somebody lost the DVD episode of The Haunting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you were the one who owned the DVD of The Haunting. So the blame falls squarely on the educated man's shoulders.
Yeah, that was me. I lost it. I don't know where it is. I'll try to order a new copy. Maybe we'll try to do it a week or two from now. But we're going to settle for a haunting in Georgia because Haunting in Connecticut was so successful that they're going to do a sequel.
I don't know why. That movie was so boring.
God, it was horrible. You know, the documentary was even worse, but at least it was a little closer to what actually happened.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a Haunting in Georgia, which is going to be the sequel. So we're going to preempt this stuff. You know, in a year or two when it actually comes out, you guys will know the actual story.
Yeah. But, of course, listening to our show, please don't go watch a Haunting in Georgia or Haunting in Connecticut.
Yeah, they're just for laughs. So what we did was we got the episode Haunting in Georgia, which I think was the second episode of The Haunting. About an hour and a half of excruciating pain. So what we got here is we got a family named the Wyricks. And shockingly enough, they have southern accents. Well, they're in Georgia.
Yeah, I guess, they're in Georgia. Yeah, Georgia peach.
So not the brightest bulbs in the litter. Actually, none of the people in this entire show, I think, had IQs above maybe 70.
It was a shocking study of stupidity watching this show. I mean, I'm sure there are smart people in Georgia. I dated a southern girl who was very bright. But the people they got for this show, I swear they must have been searching back alleys for the most redneck, retarded people they could find.
Well, you know, you typically don't find a physics professor who claims to be haunted. I mean, that's pretty difficult.
That's true.
They're always pretty much rednecks. So the Wyricks move into this new home that they've been searching over a year of, right?
Yeah.
Or year four. And they don't have any neighbors, really. So their poor only child plays by herself all the time, right?
Yeah, basically. Even in the documentary, the mother allows this child just to run freely through the yards because there's miles of nothingness. And this girl was, what, 3 or 4 at this time? This little girl was by herself. Her mother was inside working all the time. And what do you think happened? Oh, my. A Gordy showed up, this old fellow who wanted to play with her.
Nice old man shows up, has a tea party with her, and mom just thinks he's an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
Hey, mom, psst, you're right.
Yeah. You know, I dated a girl who had a small young daughter, 3, and a small boy. And the girl had imaginary friends. In fact, she would talk about them as her girls. She actually knew 3 of them, knew them by name, knew what they looked like, described them to us, and used to get angry if she would say they pulled something and she was the one getting in trouble with it. She would say, no, it was my girls. They did it. So you're telling me that this entire story is about a imaginary friend.
Well, look, we had 7 kids in my family. I'm number 3. One of my brothers had 2 imaginary friends that used to call him up on the phone all the time.
Was this when he was 16 looking for a date?
He was about the same age as the girl in the show. The two imaginary friends were named Hey Man, What You Talking About? And Butterman Jack. And we would mercilessly make fun of my younger brother until finally Butterman Jack grabbed a knife, killed Hey Man, What You Talking About? And then shot himself in the head. And that was the last they were seen.
Oh, God. That's great.
No.
Okay.
I suppose he could have been haunted by two guys, but I think imaginary friend is probably the most efficient hypothesis.
Yes, yes. Now, the funny thing about this is, as they go along in the story, the mother and the father, they react to these imaginary friends as just that, imaginary friends. It's not until the mother's sister actually moves into town.
Well, no. Remember, she saw another guy.
Yeah, well, that was Khan. I was getting to that.
Well, the first time she saw Mr. Gordy, she called, and the husband comes home.
Yeah, that's true.
And because they think that maybe this is a guy out there trying to kidnap their daughter.
That's true.
He comes home, walks into the living room, opens up his gun rack, which is unlocked,
and starts driving up and down the street with a loaded weapon looking to shoot this guy.
Unlocked. Loaded guns inside the house. If that doesn't say South, I don't know what does.
Yeah, yeah.
So after this, you know, she kept doing. It's like kind of the boy who cried wolf. Mom stopped worrying about
until Khan kidnappers,
right? Until
Bad guy showed up. Much like your little family story about the imaginary friends killing each other, this little girl walks up to the front door and goes, mommy, there's a man standing at the door and he's all bloody. So the mother grabs a kitchen knife and starts running around the front yard, crazily waving this knife around until a neighbor pulls up and says, you all right? What can you say?
I have no idea. None. Zero idea. And of course you have the normal cliche, the horror movie cliche where ghosts appear, and you first know it by seeing your breath, right? Oh, it becomes really, God. Really cold, and you see your breath.
Well, that doesn't come until after the sister. We'll get to that. But
terrible.
Now, my first thought is, you have a bloody man who shows up at your doorstep, and your first inclination is to grab a knife so you can cut him further. What happens if he was in a car accident? You come charging out there with a knife? You think that's going to help the situation any? And not only that, you are a woman. I don't care if you have a knife. Unless you get a lucky strike or know how to defend yourself, you are going to get your ass whooped.
Oh, my God. You are a bastard. The guy apparently had his arm cut off.
No. She did not know that. The daughter walked up to her and said,
he was bloody and he was in bandages. So if he was in a car accident, you think that she couldn't take out the guy with...
The little girl did not say she was in bandages. She just said there was a bloody man at the door, and the mother flipped out.
So he's bloody. Car accident. He's already been injured. You don't think she could take him out with a knife?
Who says he's injured?
He's bloody!
The girl said that he's bloody. He could have blood on his shirt from whoever he was slaughtering. Maybe he was slaughtering a pig down the street and was looking for a little bit of hot poker. I don't know. I don't know why you would need a hot poker.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I think the smarter move would be to go grab one of those rifles.
Well, it's unlocked.
It's unlocked and loaded. And then she left the kid inside and left the door open.
Yeah.
Never would I do that. I'd call 911.
Oh, so now
lock
you're
the
being
door.
The sexist pig by
I'm
saying she did
I'm telling you,
wrong.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I think it was a stupid move to go outside if you think there's some bloody crazed individual. Not because she's a woman, just because it's crazy. What? You've got your daughter in there. She's like 3 or 4 years old. Well, you go and leave and walk around and leave the door open so the guy can come in and kill your daughter? What the hell is wrong with you?
Now, my thought on all of this is, I agree with you, even as a guy, I was just pointing out that she's stupid and she's working on her weaknesses. But
you just don't want to run around with a knife because she's a woman and she might impale herself on a sharp object.
Now, that's not exactly true because I dated several women who used to sleep with knives under their pillows. Don't ask me why. And they
but you
actually
think it wouldn't do,
hold themselves.
It wouldn't do any good because they're a woman and the man would beat them up.
This case, yes. Did you see the fatty that they were showing on there? That woman hasn't run 10 feet in her life.
Oh, God. Moving on. You see what I have to deal with here?
This is what you have to deal with. I'm the one that's trying to point out something, and you're just flipping
you're
out.
Right. You have to live with yourself 24 hours a day.
That's true. Yes, yes, I must look at myself in the mirror. Anyway, Continuing onward, this goes to Pierce. She runs out with a knife crazily, comes back inside, and says, oh, oops, just another imaginary friend.
Yeah, so her sister moves in next door.
You know, something just occurred to me. So, on the first one, where an old man is out there with the daughter, she calls the husband, he comes flying home. But when there's a bloody man at her doorstep, she grabs a knife and faces the danger herself. What kind of inconsistency is that?
Well, you know, when you're scared for your daughter's life, I suppose, I would not underestimate, just like a female bear defending her cubs, I would not underestimate a woman who is protecting her child.
Well, why would she do it the second time and not the first time?
I don't know. I can't explain it.
First, the inconsistency in the
this
story.
This is stuff that these guys are remembering, right? And we'll get into this a little bit later because memory is not rock solid.
No.
These guys are assuming that this stuff happened exactly as they remember it or as they were telling it. And I would say bullshit on that for precisely this reason. Sister shows up. She sees a name on the lease, James Gordy. She mentions it to her.
Well, before that actually happened, the sister, as they were moving in, actually commented to her that she doesn't think it's normal and thinks there's more going on than just an imaginary friend, that there's something out there. She
right.
actually made that comment.
Right.
When
she mentions
in.
That her daughter has an imaginary friend, so the sister, the aunt, says that's not normal. But, of course, she has no children to play with. What do you think is normal?
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
So she noticed the name James Gordy on the lease. Now, I tell you what would happen. What was vastly more probable than the fact that they're telling the truth is that they misremembered the sequence of events. So she goes, she says, well, there's this nice old man. And then she signs a lease, notices that the executor of the will, who's helping the property, the caretaker, is named James Gordy. Oh, yeah, the lady who owns the house says, oh, that's James Gordy, he's a caretaker. Bingo, it's associated with her mind. She goes in and says, oh, well, caretaker, this might be a ghost. This might be James Gordy, the guy who was taking care of the house prior to this.
Yeah. That
do you think that's
more
probable,
close.
Or do you think it's more probable that maybe the girl said actually saw the ghost and said, oh, this is Mr. Gordy?
Tough decision on our account.
I love it, too, that they take her to the cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
And she runs straight to Mr. Gordy's grave, even though she can't read.
Yeah. She runs straight to it and then looks up and says, Grandpa, could you tell me what that says? Well, that says James Gordy died
Bullshit.
Here.
Bullshit.
Well, not only that, but then the woman who was bringing over the paperwork, they harass her and say, you know what, could you bring some photographs? And she shows up with all these photographs. They put them in front of the little girl. And they say to her, do you recognize anybody from these photographs? And she points at a picture of a man and says, oh, that's Khan. And the woman looks at her and says, honey, his name was Lon, not Khan. But you're right, he did lose his hand as a child.
In a threshing accident, also says Deep South.
Yeah. So,
and
really.
They you know, they go on, they have some really strange and inexplicable events, such as the dog inexplicably barks at nothing in the kitchen.
Have these people ever had dogs? They bark just wildly at nothing. Darkness, they bark.
Yeah, they hear a squirrel in the yard. Bark, 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 bark.
That squirrel runs by the window. Bark, 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 bark.
Well, there's nothing in here. There's nothing in the kitchen.
And shortly thereafter, the dog ran away.
And never came back. Well, let me tell you this. Knowing what I know about the family, I wouldn't have stayed there very long either.
Well, considering the dog they picked, that thing looked like just a mutt they picked up off the street. So I would have run away too.
So family's arranging flowers for a wedding, and a chair moved inexplicably.
I'm calling bullshit.
I am flabbergasted at that one.
Bullshit.
They decide the house was haunted, right? The husband says, let's just wait a while and see if it gets better.
Yeah, don't mind all the ghosts and the moving of chairs. It's okay. It'll get better.
And then Heidi wakes up one morning with scratches on her face. Again, no possible explanation for this.
You know, I don't think I ever told you about this, but just out of high school, I was heavily into weightlifting. In fact, I weighed about 205 pounds because I was lifting weights so much. And I recall a particular dream where I was up against some guys and we were seeing who could curl the most weight. So in my dream, I'm huffing, I'm puffing, I go to throw the weight as hard as I can, and I swing up and I punched myself in the eye. In fact, it woke me up. I had a black eye for a week after that. I wonder if there's any other explanations for this girl waking up with scratches.
No, you just thought you punched yourself in the eye. Oh. Actually, it was Mr. Gordy.
Mr. Gordy was in there going, you bastard. I know you're going to do a podcast about me. Well, fuck right. You, Mr. Gordy.
What I would like is for one of these children to get scratches that's not in a place that isn't accessible to their fingers.
That would actually be very right? nice, too. Well, see, then, a little bit later on, the father actually develops scratches on his side and instantly attributes it to Ghost. Now, I don't know how many of you out there have ever done grunt labor, but there are times when you walk away and someone actually says, whoa, dude, you're bleeding. And you look down, and you're like, whoa, I don't even understand how I got that.
Right. Auto accident. I, you know, banged forward onto my little remote control. The little metal clip on there.
Yeah.
Got out of the car, and the guy in the car says, hey, you're bleeding. Look in the mirror. Sure enough, there's a little cut on my forehead. And, you know, you might not notice this stuff till later. You're absolutely right. It's fairly – and we're all assuming that they're telling the truth, right? That they have no motive for lying, such as, I don't know, being on a TV show or getting press or
– Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They got writing a book or, you know, anything like that. Anyway
Well, one thing I would like to point out is that the scratches on the child's face and the scratches on the father's side were at the same level. So even if these possibilities aren't so, maybe the little girl got up, was half asleep, stumbled into something that left scratches, and then the father later on bumped into it himself.
I would also like to point out that several times during this episode, Mom tries unsuccessfully to wake Dad.
Yes.
And where do you grab when you're trying to wake them? Oh, I don't know, on the back, perhaps on the side. She grabbed him twice in the exact place that he had those scratches.
Yes, yes, but I want to get to that a little bit later. All right. Let's continue with the story.
So they move out of the house. They go out. They can't take it anymore. And then they move back in the next day. And they say, if it happens one more time, we're moving out for good. And it doesn't happen again. So... What to do? What would you do in this situation? You have no explanation for this. Who do you go to?
Ghostbusters.
Clearly, you go to the local college's parapsychologist.
Do they have that in the Yellow Pages?
Dr. William Rohl is an Oxford-trained parapsychologist.
I'm sure Oxford constantly promotes the fact that they have those academic courses.
Right. How embarrassing for Oxford.
Oh, God.
So, you can tell he's a scientist because he's got a German accent and thick glasses.
Yes, yes. That's the first indication that he is the smart one in Georgia.
His IQ might be 74.
So we're rising up the bar a little bit.
He does have a PhD in psychology. And
well,
so,
once again, so does my brother, and I don't really look on him too highly either, so I don't put much stock in PhDs.
Your brother has a master's, I think.
Oh, God.
He's currently working on a PhD. I'm not sure that's any better. Anyway.
Either way, it's not better.
Dr. Rohl comes to the house and does a thorough investigation.
Oh, yes.
He checks the magnetic field around the house. It doesn't vary. It's like 0.1 milligausses.
Oh, God, it's hilarious.
He said often there will be temperature changes, such as sudden and severe temperature drops.
Or sudden and severe temperature rises. So basically, if there's any temperature change,
any fluctuation whatsoever.
Oh, God.
But unfortunately, the house is 18 degrees Celsius all the way through.
Yeah, so on his first initial run-through, he finds nothing. And so he says to them...
Wait. He does find something.
That was the first run through, and then he strapped it.
Because he said ions are another possibility.
That's true.
And so apparently, and the show uncritically claims that scientists have proven that positive ions negatively affect a person's mood and perceptions of the environment. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I don't know either.
Which positive ions? Calcium? Are we talking hydrogen?
I don't know.
Because we got lots of hydrogen ions floating around in our body all the time.
But that's why we're all grumpy in the morning. We have too many ions.
So what is he talking about?
Maybe he's talking about an ion enema. I don't know. I mean, dude's obviously a crackpot. You see him on the show.
In one end of the house, a massive concentration of positive ions.
Yes, he does.
I really want to know what ion that he was talking about. Because he said it pegged the chart. It went off the scale.
Well, the great thing about it is he also asked the girl if she was scared about these manifestations. And she says no, and that she can physically touch them. Imaginary friend, little girl. What a surprise. And then also...
That's right. He interviews the girl, right?
Yeah.
To see if maybe she's making it up. And he says, no, she's solid. She has no concept of ghosts because she said these people are solid. They look like you and me. And she grasped the hand of the guy.
Bullshit. She has no concept of ghosts. You're telling me this family hasn't been going around talking about this ever since, and she has no concept of ghosts.
You're absolutely right, because later on in the show, he goes and goes back to Grandpa's house.
Oh, God, Grandpa. Right?
And Grandpa tells him a bunch of scary stories that happened to him. Grandma apparently had a bunch of scary stories. We'll get on that, too. Yeah. So bullshit on the ghost thing.
Not only that, but then he brings out a picture of Gordy and mixes it in with a bunch of others. Hands it to the little girl and says, which one is Gordy? And the girl picks it out, and he's like, oh, well, obviously she had never seen this again. Bullshit. That family has been researching Gordy, everything else. You're telling me this little girl didn't run across a newspaper clipping?
Wrong. And, you know, how do we know Mom didn't say, what about this one? Don't you think that's Mr. Gordy?
Yeah.
Look closely.
We already know this scientist doesn't know scientific method, because as soon as he had those high ion readings, he pulled all of his equipment out.
Well, except for one. That was the magnetometer, because he wasn't happy with that reading. And so he recorded it overnight, and sure enough, there was a fluctuation overnight, clinching the diagnosis of place memories.
Yes, yes. Now, the funny thing about that is he also pointed out that appliances kicking on and... other electronic
stoves,
devices,
microwaves,
creates a magnet. And so my comment to that is every time you microwave something, Gordy's going to appear to the little girl.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, you know, nothing happens during night except, oh, maybe air conditioning, possibly heating. Ugh, God.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he was amazed at the spike of magnetic readings overnight.
Yeah. Now, he actually went and he did research on this, and he found out that there was a small earthquake, and that they were living on a fault line, and that was the reason they were hallucinating.
The seismic shifts cause magnetic fields, and there you go.
Yeah.
Now, here's his theory about what happened. He has this idea of place memories, that the environment records impressions of people who lived there in the past.
What kind of recording device is that?
He says that this at first sounds startling to people. And I would say yes.
I would say it sounds stupid.
But you have to remember that our environment is made up of energy and light. So therefore it can happen. Now, I laughed out loud at this because the narrator then goes on to say, but scientists have yet to understand how these energy recordings are stored in the environment or why so few individuals can perceive them. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Listen, Dr. Roll, you have no mechanism whatsoever for any recording of anything in the environment, much less a playback mechanism.
The trees are recording us right now.
Oh, God.
My thought on that is if an earthquake causes hallucinations by kicking out all of these ions, then why is it when we have these massive earthquakes in Los Angeles and other places, we don't get reports of massive hallucinations across the population?
Yeah. 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 I guess that's it for that. There's an empirical test of that theory.
Yeah,
there should be mass hallucinations for every single earthquake.
Exactly. There should be cases and cases of hallucinations during an earthquake. So there goes your little fault line theory. I think it just got ass raped.
The funniest thing about this whole theory is that the guy doesn't believe the people he's interviewing.
No.
If she was right and she's holding it, you can't hold a hallucination.
No, he does not believe in spirits. He believes this is all just ions and interacting with the...
He says, I can't account for the scratches. So clearly, if he believes his theory, then the daughter's lying about seeing solid people and grabbing their hands, and the daughter and father are lying about the scratches.
Yes.
He doesn't believe them. So why should we?
Yeah. And why should we believe his theory any better? Because he just ignores things.
Yeah, I love how he says that he doesn't believe in ghosts. They're just hallucinations brought upon by changes in the temporal lobe caused by magnetic fluctuations.
Such as turning on the microwave. So be careful, our listeners out there. You might see ghosts when you microwave your food.
So that theory is great, but ghosts, no way. That crosses the line.
Oh, God. So anyway, he basically says to them, well, here are my readings, just be careful, and if you ever need me, call me back.
Don't worry, because it's just hallucinations.
Yes.
And, of course, the hallucinations continue.
Of course.
And they get worse now.
Yes.
They have a new baby, Jordan.
Of course.
Another daughter. The girl's name is Heidi. After Heidi's teenage years, she no longer saw Mr. Gordy.
Yeah, what a surprise. She becomes a teenager, and Gordy becomes, in her own words, an old memory.
Yes. Really? But she continues to see this black faceless man who apparently is wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
And the bad guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So well, the bad guys the bad always spirits. Shrug. Well, see, what I find absolutely hilarious is she had her friend over, Montine. I am so sorry your parents named you that.
My God.
My God. Are they looking to torture you more than just the ugly face you had?
Oh.
But Montine was there, and she also experienced ghostly experiences such as noises happening. Let me give you an idea of an experience I had as a child with my good friend Chad. We went up to his house. It was dark. We were the only ones there. We were running around playing, and we started hearing things around the house. It freaked us out so much that Chad grabbed the double-barrel shotgun off the mantle, ran around up to his dad's room, loaded the thing with shotgun shells, and we wandered around the house until we found a safe corner, hid in it, and just pointed the shotgun around until we heard his parents driving up, and then we quickly put everything back so they would never notice. You're a child. Your imagination is going wild. Yeah, you're going to hear odd things.
It could be anything, for God's sakes. Just because you don't know what it is doesn't mean it's a ghost.
Yeah.
So from this experience, they somehow, from the experience that it happens to a friend inside the house, they somehow think that it's after their family and it has nothing to do with the house.
Yeah.
Now, this is another reason why I think they're jumbling their memories, because later on a psychic comes, we'll get to that, she tells them, it's not the house, it's you. You're the mediums. So do you think perhaps they got the idea that it wasn't the house at that time and they're just remembering it earlier?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, these two girls, they specifically say they did not see this horrible figure chasing them, but they were just really frightened.
It's happening not to just the family, not to just this Heidi girl, but also to the friend. And it's happening inside the house.
Yeah.
So how they decide it's not the house and it's only their family, idiotic.
What I love is a reporter actually comes. He's a photographer. He loves the paranormal. He drives up to the house, but gets so afraid by the feeling he gets that he turns around and runs away, and he writes his article about that. Huh. Without investigating. Does that seem just a little bit suspicious about, trying to get people to read his article a little bit more, try to build
on
the legend?
I'll tell you what happened. The guy never went. Never got off his fat, lazy ass and interviewed anybody. And so instead of doing his job, he made up this story.
Yeah, that is more plausible than a man driving up, walking towards the house with a camera, and then fleeing while leaving a yellow stain behind him.
So there's 10 years go by. There's the newspaper story. So everyone in the community now knows about it. And whose fault is that?
I would say the families,
yes,
for spreading this around.
Yes, they don't want the attention so much that they call a freaking newspaper reporter,
yeah,
to get him over to the house.
And then, of course, the daughter, the one who saw Gordy, is walking around getting teased for this, and she's looking at him going, just grow up.
Shocking that
Shocking.
She'd be teased.
Yeah.
Now, they, at this time, one thing bothered me. They said they've been haunting for 10 years, but Mr. Gordy has now gone away, and now it's just malevolent spirit.
Yeah.
Why would the hauntings get more evil as time passed?
Well, because they were watching horror movies by this time.
So they decide to go back to church, right?
Yes.
And Brother Shelley doesn't hold truck with all of this scientific mumbo-jumbo. He believes, he gets right down to it, this is a demonic spirit.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is he actually points out that he doesn't believe that there are ghosts out there, that they're all just demonic spirits here on the earth.
Right, again, no ghosts, but demonic spirits, those things are absolutely real.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
So the family, for unknown reasons to me, decides to call Dr. Roll back because he was so helpful in the first time.
Well,
right?
the reason why they called him back was because the youngest daughter started seeing spirits as well.
Why didn't they just get an exorcism if they're so faithful?
Well, because they weren't faithful with the Catholic Church. Maybe this church they're going to doesn't believe in exorcisms. I don't know. But the youngest daughter, surprise, surprise, starts seeing a ghost. But it's not Mr. Gordy. It's not Khan. It's not the malevolent figure. It is a little girl who just got into a car crash and was dead.
And who, coincidentally, seems to be about the same age as her.
Yeah, what a surprise. Shocking. And you know what's really shocking? Is a family that walks around talking about ghosts, probably on a daily basis, and then their youngest daughter seeing one. That's just, I can't even explain that.
And keep in mind, she only saw it that once. We never hear from the daughter
again.
Yeah,
they only saw it that once.
So Jordan sees this one girl ghost. Mom takes her out of the room, and never again do we hear any ghostly sightings by the other daughter. Maybe she's tired of being made fun of. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, well.
So Roll comes back, and he thinks, my God, of course, they have ESP.
Yeah, so much for my magnetic and ion theory. They have ESP.
Heidi and Lisa, of course, are psychic. They have natural capacities of human mind that can be understood and pursued through science. I love it. He keeps saying this is all naturalistic, but he has absolutely no idea about naturalist versus supernatural phenomenon. ESP is a supernatural phenomenon. There is no naturalistic explanation for it, unless you want to say there's another sense that some people have, but then you got to say what's interacting with this sense. Is it light waves? We should see it. Sound waves? Yep. We should hear it. Any other thing we should be able to detect if it's natural? And why do some people, and only a few apparently, see it? Right?
Well, it could be because they have a family history of believing in this shit.
These very few people seem to be gullible.
Well, not only that, but these very few people have been raised to believe that anything out of the ordinary could be
a
ghost.
So he thinks there's a genetic link. And so he interviews their father again and uncovers paranormal experiences dating back generations, for which I say, shocking!
What a surprise.
Well, I am stunned!
Then the aunt actually comes into the house when nobody's home, starts hearing what she says is creepy laughter. And then she says that there was a lamp working without being plugged in. I'm going to call bullshit on the lamp. But It brings up kind of my mother in my mind, because they moved into this house, and she was there by herself with my niece and nephew upstairs, already asleep. She was down in the kitchen getting herself a meal, and she heard something down in the basement rumbling around. It terrified her so much, she ran up, climbed into bed, and pretty much hid. Well, this happened a few times over the next few weeks, and she started going downstairs. She couldn't find anybody. So she attributed it to a ghost. Well, about...
Of course, again, you have no explanation, and so you replace the non-explanation with an explanation. You can't do that. That is a fallacy called argument from ignorance. All right? you are ignorant about the cause of it. But that ignorance does not allow you to supply a solution out of your ass.
Well, that's what she did. She supplied the solution that it was a ghost. And because of this, several months went by, and my father was finally down in the basement when this event occurred, and it turned out that every night at that time, the sprinklers would come on, and all that water rushing through that pipe would rattle it around.
Gee. I still go with the ghost theory.
Yeah,
It's not the water. A ghost has grabbed onto that pipe with his intangible fingers, and he's rattling it around.
Yeah, and every night at that time, just to make them think it's the sprinklers.
And in a year or two, that story would have expanded to, when I was down in that basement, my temperature dropped, I could see my breath in the air, and then it rattled. You know, you can see how this stuff moves.
Well, it moves because of word of mouth. Now, not many people know, but the old farmhouse I grew up in, it became abandoned after we sold it to the woman. And she declared bankruptcy, left it there. It was left for about 6 years, just unattended, Children were starting to break in there, having parties in there, that sort of thing. Well, me and a buddy of mine started sneaking in there, catching people in there, and we started telling stories about how there were ghosts, how the family that lived there had adopted a bunch of children, made them work for their food, and that every once in a while one would die and they would get buried in the concrete. This became such a renowned story that there is a website. You can actually look my house up as one of the most haunted places in America.
There was a news report on it debunking it. The neighbors were so tired of hearing about this, they called this reporter, and he did a 5-minute segment debunking it. And they called the actual owner of the property. He's like, what? No, we're about to demolish it. I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So I wonder how these ghost stories get larger and larger as they go.
So now going back to the genetics thing, right? Grandma apparently was raised in an area called Haunted Hollow.
Yeah.
It was a long part of the Trail of Tears where 2,000 men, women, and children, Native Americans, were forced to travel from one place to another. Massive suffering. 2,000 women, men, women, children actually died while traveling. There were a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And so this became Haunted Hollow. And of course, if you're growing up in that stuff, then you're going to hear a whole lot of stories about that. So clearly, it's not just gullibility passed through generations and stories passed through generations. There must be a genetic, there must be a gene for ESP and psychicness.
I agree. And you know, what they are probably seeing is not only the Native Americans, not only the people who have lived there, but they're seeing the cavemen who came well before these stories and all the other ghosts who have died under mean circumstances at that point. Because it's not just Native Americans that are heard there. It's every spirit that has died there.
Should be, if it's maybe the recordings fade after time.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, they actually pointed out that there's a cave in Haunted Hollow where you can actually hear the screams of the men, women, and children who died along the Trail of Tears.
Yeah, I can't think of any possible explanation for that one.
Yeah.
Except if you've ever blown on top of an empty bottle.
Or actually gone inside of a cave and realized that caves breathe. No explanation. None whatsoever.
So, Dr. Roll, the eminent scientist that he is, grounded in naturalistic explanations, brings in a psychic. Amy Allen, to read the house. And of course, what does she do first thing when she gets there? Oh, she brings this dork friend of hers with a Prince Valiant haircut.
Yeah, I swear the dude was trying out to be Robin Hood's merry man.
Straight from the Renaissance Festival. He's filming this thing, and she's saying, wow, this place is thick with energy.
Yeah, you know what I would have loved? If the doctor, being scientifically minded, would have given them the wrong address and set up an actual experimentation where they go to the wrong house that has had no reports of any sort of paranormal activity and then watch them react. Yep. If she would have got out of the car and said, whoa, I don't feel anything, I don't understand this, that would have been something.
We've watched a bunch of these haunting episodes, and they're equally crappy.
Yeah.
We were trying to get ideas from these episodes to use in our own home haunt, right? But they're so terrible and so stupid that I haven't gotten any ideas from them.
No.
They're just awful.
We got some good naps on them. So
anyway, every one of these things, they bring in a psychic, and they're like, I feel a very bad spirit here. This is a... very evil. You people are in trouble. This is a monstrously evil spirit. I would love for them to go to the wrong house down the street and say the same thing, right? They get in there and they're like, this is a monstrously evil. I feel it.
Yeah.
No, it's two blocks down.
No, you're at the wrong house. It's down there. Well, you have something to worry about yourself.
I would pay money to take a psychic to the wrong house and have him read it, knowing up front
that there was
an evil spirit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, tell
because
them
they're called
story.
In. Right, it's not like Dr. Roll's gonna say, "Oh, by the way, I'd like you to read a house." It's totally normal.
nothing wrong.
He's
with
gonna
it.
Say, "You know, there's this family that's concerned." Blah blah blah. You're reading this, and so she starts getting these ideas.
Yeah, they feel a malevolent presence. We want you to come in here and read
right.
for them. Yeah.
So, you know what? Since this guy with the page boy haircut is filming the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, why don't we have the original footage?
Yeah.
They refilmed the whole thing for the documentary. Where's the original stuff? Because on this one, she's shockingly accurate.
Yeah.
She's saying, "Oh, I feel a benign caretaker ghost over here. Oh, this feels like a small child ghost. Oh, this over here, this feels like a really bad ghost." You're like, where's the original footage?
Not only that, but she pointed out that the small child ghost, the one that got in the car accident that the youngest saw, was so thick and so real that she never, or she rarely runs into these types of things.
That she didn't think it was a ghost at first.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah, bullshit. Let's see the original
footage. I want to see the original footage. They filmed it. That was the whole purpose of Fat Page Boy going over there with his camera. Let's see the original footage.
Yeah, what, is the doctor hiding this because he's really planning on making a book out of it?
That's another thing. They used the original people that were actually haunted in this place to refilm these episodes. So apparently this was so traumatic for the mother that she chooses to relive the whole thing.
Yeah. To go through it again and again and again, and then to sit there at the end of the show and say, we just wish all this attention would go away. We just wish this would stop. Bullshit. You're writing a book. You've got a movie coming out. You've had a docudrama made of you.
They want this attention to go away so bad that they agree to play themselves on a goddamn documentary.
Boy, I know I like to go through traumatic experiences over and over again. I mean, when I got in the rollover accident and put my head out the window, I mean, hey, that was so fun. I wanted to do it again and again.
Layton actually gained 20 IQ points after that accident.
Yes. It was about the only way I learned how to do simple arithmetic.
You could read after the accident.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm doing this show? I can read now.
People with post-traumatic stress disorder, like soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder, you can tell the ones who are faking because they're like, "You like to watch war movies?" "Oh, yeah, I watch war movies every chance I get." Bullshit, you don't have PTSD.
Yeah.
People with PTSD turn the television off. They do not want to be reminded of it. That's the last thing they want to be reminded of. But these guys, hell, not only remind it, we'll reenact this stuff. All right, so the psychic tells the family, "You guys are psychics. You're mediums. You can't just pick up and leave the house because you'll be sensitive to this stuff wherever you go.
This is going to follow you around for the rest of your life."
Interestingly enough, the psychic that was brought in by Dr. Roll completely disagrees with Dr. Roll.
Yeah.
This isn't place memories. These aren't energy recordings. These are bad spirits that are living in the house.
And if you move somewhere else, you'll just find some more bad spirits.
And so now Lisa believed that it wasn't just an angry entity. This is the mom.
Yeah.
It had to be a demon because she's religious.
Yes. And that's what her pastor told her. Now, she actually woke up in the middle of the night because she heard evil voices above her. And so she reached over and she started shaking her husband, going, "Wake up, wake up." He wouldn't wake up. So she sat in bed and cried all night the first time.
Yeah, and husband doesn't wake up.
More
likely, puts the pillow over his head.
Trying to smother himself to get out of that relationship more. Like, I'm sorry. I have been in bed with a lot of women. As soon as they're tapping me, going, "There's something outside, da-da-da," you wake up. And
if he doesn't, then he's clearly too drunk. He's passed out. He's not sleeping.
But isn't it interesting that instead of continually trying to wake him up, she just sits there and cries?
Yes.
She doesn't get up. She doesn't try to leave. She just sits there and cries and listens to these demonic voices all night.
So now she takes action. She gets her own psychic in, who is a member of her own
church. Yeah.
And what does he do as soon as he walks in?
Whoa.
There's the real bad spirit here.
I just walked into a wall of psychic activity.
He says, "I feel it right here." And she looks at him and doesn't say anything. And so he goes, "Well, it doesn't mean it resides here. That's just where I feel it."
However, he contradicts himself a little later on, because as he starts walking back through the rooms, he's like, "Oh, yeah." He gets into the bedroom. Yep. He's like, "Oh, wow, I really feel it in here." Well, no shit, dipshit. You probably told him about the experience of getting up and crying in the night.
Yeah, that's why you're here.
He
goes into the daughter's room. Oh, my God.
I can feel it
There's a spirit in here. Goes into the other daughter's room. Not really. So, oh my God, the door frame. There's an evil spirit trying to get into the room. Yeah. The door's open. You know, what the hell is barring the evil spirit from getting in?
All I can figure is maybe it's like the old vampire lore where you have to invite the vampire in. But yeah, he says in the very beginning, well, you know, it could be in this general area. This is just where I feel it right now. And then he specifically states, at this doorstep, it cannot enter, but I feel it right here.
So what do? They go to their church and they get their pastor, who looks exactly like a pig.
Yes.
I mean,
he really does.
That is really impressive. When he's talking about demonic spirits, I mean, you remember that one pig in the Amityville Horror? That's what he reminded me of. Anyway, he's talking about it. So this is the third expert they've consulted, right? They've consulted a PhD, they've consulted some psychics, and now a priest, and they've gotten three different explanations.
Well, the reason why they went to their pastor this time is because the mom, Lisa, woke up again to these demonic voices.
Couldn't wake up the husband.
Couldn't wake
again.
Him up again. If you're hearing this multiple times in the same room at night, could it be that the heat is kicking on and it's vibrating?
Demonic voices.
Sprinkler system.
So you get place memories from the PhD parapsychologist, angry entities from the psychics, and demonic spirits from the priest.
Yeah.
So what do? They hold a little thing in the church where they anoint the mom and the daughter with oil and apparently do a remote casting of evil spirits from the church. I've never seen that.
And not only that.
Aren't they supposed to go in the house and like sprinkle holy water?
Like I said, different denomination, obviously.
That's right. They're not Catholic. So I get they just cast the evil spirits from miles away out of the house.
And then the preacher actually gets up and he does a sermon about this oldest daughter thinking that it's really her fault and that she shouldn't be thinking that way because it is not her fault. She is just being attacked by demonic spirits.
Right. And so they go home and the hauntings keep happening. Why do you suppose? I'll tell you why. Because all of her life, even the pastor, tells Heidi that she has a gift.
Yeah.
Right? She's special. She has a gift. Do you think she's going to give that up?
No. In fact, she specifically states at the end of the movie, I don't think it's a curse. I'm special.
Yep. Right, exactly. Mom says, you know, it's been a couple months. It's gotten better. We'll see them every once in a while. But, you know, we'll just have to live with it. This is my favorite part of the whole episode. She says, having faith is the biggest part of it. It has gotten better over the last several months. And that's just faith.
So you would think that if faith was involved when they went to their preacher and
be gone
had him,
permanently,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What's the matter? They don't have enough faith? What's blocking them? Well, why are the things still happening?
Maybe they're trying to walk on water like Jesus did and they kept sinking.
Oh, God.
They just don't have enough faith, so they just have to keep praying.
That's what it is.
And I can actually hear the pigman preacher stating that. You guys just need to have more faith,
right,
and these will go away.
It's not that I was ineffective. It's your fault. You need to have more faith. You need to be better. That's what these religious types always tell them. You know, you be a better person. You repent of your sins. Have more faith, and I'm sure it'll go away. So none of these guys were effective in getting rid of these, quote, ghosts.
What they need is not
a psychologist, not a psychic, not a pastor. They need a psychiatrist. They need counseling.
Yes.
They need education in critical thinking abilities.
Yes, especially the daughter and the new generation, so they can put a stop to this generation-old belief in ghosts, spirits, hauntings.
Right. So, you know, does religion do harm? Does this stuff do harm? Yeah, absolutely. What I'd like to say, too, is that believing in this religious crap for no reason whatsoever, in the absence of any evidence, makes you more susceptible to believing in any crap, right? You know, it's not just one thing. You don't just have, like I was saying, you can have a physics professor who thinks, oh, ghosts, ridiculous. But Bigfoot, I believe in. UFOs, definitely.
Yes, yes. I see aliens probing my ass all the time.
The vast majority of people who believe in this stuff are religious. That may be because the vast majority of people out there are religious. But I think that it goes deeper than that. I think that if you accept one thing without any evidence, you will accept quite a few things without any evidence. You know, and these guys are just sitting there nodding like idiots the whole time. Oh, that sounds good. As they're receiving three contradictory statements.
Yeah.
Yep, I believe that.
But they don't see them as contradictory. They just see these as experts telling them one problem, another problem, and another three separate problems for the same thing.
Right. And then they just take what they want, pick and choose, just like religion. Yeah. I don't like this part of the Old Testament. Well, I don't like that part of the New Testament. I just believe what I believe.
I
just have faith.
Because it's what I want to believe.
All right, so that about winds that one up.
Yes.
We'll try to get a haunting in Connecticut. Maybe we'll do a Ghostbusters type of thing, because those TV shows are pretty popular. But again, we're pretty busy, so no promises.
Yeah, this is actually turning into a much larger project than either of us were planning. We have pretty much doubled what we have done last year.
So if you live in Utah, around the Salt Lake area, swing by. Shoot us an email. Definitely come.
I'll make you shit in your pants.
Bye.